Today I have a very interesting message, and actually very much goes along with what Pastor Tim's been talking about in terms of, he's talking about the God I never knew, which is talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, many times people know a lot about the Father, know a lot about the Son, but the Holy Spirit, it's a little bit interesting. You know, that guy, he's kind of invisible, isn't he? It means he kind of hides in the shadows. But really, he's to be the God that works with us, talks with us. He is God with us right now that enables us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the God that works with us, and we should have a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. He should be closer to you than the very air you breathe. Every breath you take, every thought, every whisper that comes from your mouth, he's closer to you than that very whisper. And we can't be ignorant of that. And so today I want to talk about something called A Tale of Three Veils. Everyone say, A Tale of Three Veils. So it's, sometimes try to be cute here, but let's start at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a very good chapter. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that called it it was his favorite chapter. It's, some people have called it the Mount Everest of the book of Romans. It's the peak. Verse 1, we'll start there. We'll just read a bit. Is it okay if we read some scripture this morning? You guys like the Bible? All right. Verse 1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Everyone say, free.
Free.
Hallelujah. From the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Pretty good stuff so far, right? Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I love it. Two more verses here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Let's stop there for a moment. Romans chapter 8 was written to Christians. It was not written primarily to the people in the world, or people who don't know anything about God. This was written to Christians. People that have received Jesus. People who have received the Holy Spirit. Very important to know who you're talking to. The reason he's written this, he says, you can be a Christian. You can be positioned correctly in the Spirit, but still walk in the flesh. You can be a Christian and still have a carnal mind. Mm. That's the reason he's writing this. Otherwise, this would be completely irrelevant. He says, Christian, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people that are that don't know God. But you know God, so yeah, it doesn't apply to you. But he's written to Christians. To Christians. So the thing is this. There is a choice you must make to walk in the Spirit. You can't just be positioned correctly. You have to move in that position. And the choice comes down to, and see, that is where your life is. We just live from there. This is your position. You just live from that position. So the choice is two things. Number one, where you set your mind. Number one. Number two is how much you allow the Spirit of God to help from within you. You can have a resource, but you can choose not to use that resource. It's up to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't possess you. The Holy Spirit's not a demon. There's no, Holy Spirit exorcist movie. Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. It's a partnership. You work with him. He's not going to work independently from you without your permission. He respects you. He respects you, believe it or not. He respects what God has done through you, in you, and he says, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to have a relationship with you, not a slave ownership. So, let's move on here. You got this so far? All right. So, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Isn't this cool about, freedom and bondage on July 4th? We didn't really even plan this way, but this is cool. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We'll deal with that in a second. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Say, revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation is not subject to futility. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. So the earth itself is groaning for something. What's it groaning for? Exactly. The revealing of the sons of God, the nature of Jesus Christ exploding through his people. So that is something that's being tried to cover up. That's why it needs to be revealed. If something is already revealed, it doesn't need to be revealed. But there's something that's trying to cover it up to prevent it from being revealed. And so, even though, and see, this is the thing, these things should be revealed because God has made a way where nothing should separate you, separate the earth from everything that God has for it. He has made a way. Let me show you one of my favorite scriptures. I like imagining this. Matthew chapter 27. I'm doing pretty good with time here. Matthew chapter 27. Jesus is pretty cool. He just doesn't do what people do. All right, Jesus is on the cross. And he's in a very pitiful state. I mean, everything's been taken from him. Everything. His clothes, his justice, his friends, his miracles, the very presence of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's not putting on a show. That was an actual experience he was going through. He lost everything. Blood. His breath. He is like the picture of anti-prosperity at that point. All righteousness is taken away from him. The sin of the world is dumped on him. The pressure of every bondage is on the cross with him at that point. That's a tough place to be. Can you imagine? Well, yeah. It's, man. So you expect some tears. You expect some, you know, a little bit of pity party right there. So verse 50, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. John chapter 19, verse 30, it tells what he actually said. Do you remember what he said? It is finished. Yeah. It wasn't like, falling off a cliff or something, right. Something high, like, we're dead. Pump, little puff of smoke. No, it was a cry like, done! Yeah. What a exclamation point for all eternity. It is finished! Done! That's awesome. That's Jesus. Then, behold, watch this. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Then the earthquake, the rocks, all this crazy stuff started happening. But I want to focus on verse 51. The veil of the temple was torn to from top to bottom. Now, obviously, you guys know what that means. You know, it wasn't from the bottom to the top where man was, like, you know, separating it. God himself says, no more barriers. Everything within the Holy of Holies is now coming out. Nothing should separate you from my presence. From the holiness of God visiting the whole earth. Now is that drop in the ocean. Now is the drop in the pond. It's supposed to ripple throughout the whole earth. It starts now. It is finished for the enemy's work, but it's just starting for the work of God. Amen. And so it was torn from top to bottom. And it was not something madness, something God did. He says, I'm removing the veil. That's awesome. That's awesome. God did. That was his position. That was his position. He says, that's it. You know, this is my irrevocable statement on the matter. No more barriers. There should not be any barriers between God and man. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 7. Inside that veil in the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? A few things. But one of the things that was in the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, the law. Now, the law was not meant to, it was meant to reveal the sinful nature of people, the standards of God, but it also revealed where we were in the state of sin. And it says here in verse 7, it says, but the ministry of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious. It was. When Moses received the stones, he came down from the mountain. He had glory. He was like a light bulb. He was shining, and everyone was like freaked out, like, you know, what is this, GE or something? What's going on? Who flipped on the switch? This is not right. People do not have light bulb heads. All right? You know, it wasn't an idea. He was the idea, God's idea. The light bulb was on, and it freaked people out. And it was glorious. So the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Moses didn't stay like that. It faded. Now, how will the mystery of the Spirit not be more glorious? For the mystery of condemnation and glory, the mystery of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. That means, you know, when your eyes adjust to something that's dark, like you turn on a cell phone, like at night or something, you're like, oh, what time is it? You know, look at your cell phone, like, ah, my eyes are burning. Ah, horrible. But it seems very glorious because everything else is dark. Your eyes have adjusted to the dark. So that seems, wow, this is so glorious. I can't stand to look at it. Cover it up. But when you go out in the sun, like that same brightness is like, man, this is a glare on this thing. I can't even read what this says. That's the comparison. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end which was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses read, a veil lays on their hearts. Sorry about the voice crack. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is? We just were singing that. Now, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, there's a veil this is talking about. But when you turn to the Lord, that veil is taken away. And it's meant to transform us into the same image. Our goal is to be able to look at Jesus as a mirror and say, I see who I am in you. You see yourself in me. It's supposed to be a reflection that leads to greater and greater and greater glory. And so the problem is when we, or the enemy, tries to put veils on us. The enemy should not. God did not. But we, because of the nature of the unrenewed mind, and because we do not allow the Spirit of God to work through us, we often will set up false veils that will prevent us from this transformation from glory to glory. And it's time for that to end. It's time for us to make that choice. And this choice will enable us to experience the full walk of the Spirit that we are intending. Are you guys hearing here? All right? So, just real quick. In Romans chapter 8, once more. Verse 23, not only that, but we also, who had the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So there's a groan within us that says, I also want, the earth is groaning, but I'm also groaning within myself because I want everything within me to be revealed as well. There's something inside me that needs to come out and express itself. And this, look, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans which cannot be uttered. The Spirit of God is working with us as we allow the Spirit of God to work through us. And that's the key, is allowing the Spirit of God to work through us. But you won't know how so the Spirit of God is meant to work through us if you don't know what he's trying to target. So let me talk about the first veil. This is the first veil that the enemy and ourselves will try and put on ourselves. And that's the veil of the flesh. The veil of the flesh. Talked about that in Romans chapter 8. Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was, he was under a lot of pressure. He knew what was coming up. And so he brought his disciples to the garden. And he says, all right, you three come with me. And then he took those three. And then he went a little farther. And he started to pray. And the three disciples who, if they'd been listening, they said, this is a pretty intense prayer meeting going on. I probably want to pay attention here. They've known him long enough that he's going to do something pretty cool. He does cool stuff. But what do? They fell asleep. I can't blame them, honestly. It probably could have been a very long day. But Jesus, he said, listen, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? He says, watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You have a desire. The Spirit of God is working through you to do something, but don't let your flesh dull that. See, when you have your mind on the things of the flesh and allow your body to dominate what the Spirit of God wants to do, that's a veil is going to prevent you from going any further than that little boundary, that little box. See, it's when your body's needs come first before God's, before your spirit's needs. So you're trying to feed your spirit. You know, there's a desire within you, but like, yeah, I want to pray, but yeah, there's some leftover pizza from last night. That would go really good. You know, Lord, let's just have some communion for a moment. Beep, 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 beep. And all of a sudden, your mind's completely off what God's doing, and you're just like, whoa, yeah, that was a really good place we ate last week. Yeah, that was, we'll have to go there again sometime. And you're just completely off the rails. You're here in our church, and you're thanking Pastor Tim because he is so graciously, bountifully provided abundance of coffee and popcorn. And so you avail yourselves of these blessings. You take them to your seat and you sit down and you're like, you know, I know it's worship time. I know I have a desire to worship, but God would not provide this goodness if you didn't expect me to try and worship with a mouth full of his goodness. Sorry about that up there. Oh, man, let me brush that off you. See, this is not a strange thing. In the book of 1 Corinthians, they had to deal with this. The people of 1 Corinthians, Corinth, I think it was 1 Corinthians, they were going to house for you know, breaking of bread, and they were having communion. But Paul says, you know what, you're going there just because you're hungry. You don't care anything about the Lord's body of communing and getting together and fellowship with one another and getting to know Christ better. There's nothing about that. You're just hungry. Go eat in your own home, which implies that you should have a home. Little tidbit in the scripture there. Yeah, go eat in your own home, and it means also you should have food in your home as well. Anyways, so go eat in your own home, get filled, come there so you can focus on the right things. Don't focus. There's a time where you need to put away the body's desires and focus on the spirit. When you come into church or you come into your time with God or wherever you are and your spirit of God is trying to talk to you and you're like, it's too bright, or it's too dark, the music's too loud. What shoes is she wearing? Wow, those are really nice. I wonder where she got those. You know, you get distracted by what you hear, distracted by what you see, distracted by what you smell, distracted by what you feel like. That's too hot. Man, it's too cold. That Pastor Tim, what is he doing with the temperature in here? Oh, I thought they'd fix this by now. You know, I've come to church to be comfortable so I can have the worship entertain me and Pastor Tim tell me jokes so I can laugh and leave feeling entertained. See, if you come with that mentality, you've relegated yourself to the realm of the flesh. There's things that are going to want to come out from you. It's like a chicken, you know, getting an egg. Like, there's life wants to break out, but you're keeping the shell. You're treasuring the shell more than the life. So, you know, I'm not trying to be mean. Because this is something, I used to be a lot harsher with this stuff. I remember a time I was in New Zealand, and I was preaching along these lines with a friend. We were in a home group, I've been preaching for maybe and sharing. It wasn't just me. It was me and my partner were tag teaming, and we've been going on for about an hour and a half. This is nothing. The thing was this with me. I come to a job, and I'm like, I'm going to finish my job. I'm going to do what I've called to do, and, you know, come hell or high waters, I'm going to get it done. That was my mentality. And so one of the girls there, she piped up and says, is this almost done? I got to go. I'm tired. And I, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, and this is just my mentality, this is, hey, I came halfway around the world. I have one night with you. And you don't know the time, the effort. You don't know what it cost me to get this message. You can wait a few minutes while I get this done. But that's not what I said. I gently said, well, see, that's what I'm talking about here. See, that's your flesh talking right now. And that's what you have to keep control. See, it just popped up. And so you have to get that under control. And that's why I said it. See, you don't do that. You don't do that. See, and the leaders of that group, they came and talked to me afterwards. And they were like, you know, I was about ready to punch you at that point. I really didn't think much of their correction at that point. I was like, well, I understand that. You know, it's been a long day for us too, but, you know, this is the Spirit of God moving. You gotta hang with it. Now I'm a little different. See, I have understanding for people. I understand there's people that they've been through a lot in their work life. This can be a hard end or a hard beginning to a week. There's people sitting right here that have pressures that are weighing on them. And they're like, I have to get to work. This is my only chance to relax, Pastor Tim. I don't need you piling on condemnation on me. And so I don't. But the thing is this. Garden Gethsemane. Jesus knew it had been a long day. He'd been through the same thing they had all day, probably worse. And he knew what was coming up. He's like, that's why he didn't condemn them. He just urged them. He just put it out there for them. He says, listen, I'm not asking for a lot. I'm just asking for 1 hour. Just put your flesh aside just for this moment. This is the time. You got to push past that stuff. Just give me a moment here. Just give me 1 hour. That's all I'm asking for. We all deal with the flesh. We all deal with the body. I know. I created your body. I know it has needs. But I tell you what. Trust me here. Put that voice aside. Put your spirit for just for this moment. You won't regret it. So I'll never, you know, I will never condemn people because people are going through a lot of stuff. But listen to God. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to how he's urging you. He never has something to hurt you in store. He said, if you push past this veil, oh, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be glad you did. You're going to be really glad you did. Veil number two is the veil of the mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind, the mind will fight God. The Bible makes no bones about it. Your mind is going to try and fight God. Your mind is going to fight God. Don't expect everything to be peaceful upstairs. You know, if there's a fight, Romans 8 says, are you surprised at this? You know, that's the carnal mind. I wrote this to Christians so you'd be aware of this. Now, the fight can be settled very easily. You just have to make a choice. But it doesn't mean it's always an easy choice. But it's still a choice you can make. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. It says, for he who sows to the flesh will the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So it talks about sowing to the Spirit. It says, but it takes something getting past losing heart. Discouragement doesn't have to do with the flesh. Discouragement has to do with the mind. And so that's one thing that anyone will try and throw at you. You yourselves, your own past will try and throw at you. Your mind will try and throw at you. It's a veil that says, hey, I'm trying to keep, you know what? You know, I know that the Spirit of God is trying to change me, and I'm comfortable the way I am. Please don't change me. Please don't change me. I'm comfortable with these thought patterns, with this discouragement. You know, some people receive a sense of identity and empowerment from their own discouragement, from their own pity party. They feed on that stuff. They feed on it. Like, you know, I want to complain about something. Some people want to complain just because they want to feel like they're boasting about how bad something is. Weird. Weird. But people do that. And that's the carnal mind. It's putting up a veil. So you're in the midst of prayer, in the midst of worship, and your mind's like, you know what? Remember what this person said to you? Oh, doesn't that burn you? Oh, doesn't that, you know, oh, you forgot to talk to this. Oh, yeah, that's the person you have to talk to. Oh, yeah. I have to send them a message sometime. All of a sudden, instead of focusing on turning to the Lord, your mind takes you to a detour to take you completely off track. And so you're like, you're in the midst of praying. You're like, oh, yeah, I got to get that done. Oh, man, my work's going to be upset if I don't finish that project. Okay, God, we'll have to cut this short for a moment here. And instead of inviting him with your project, you're like, God, you are one thing, but I'm sorry, I got another boss here. And your mind is not the boss. And if your mind is taking you off of the things of God, away from your answer to your problem, you got a problem. See, it causes your mind will cause you to question. It'll cause you to limit. It'll give you thoughts of hopelessness. Oh, this stuff doesn't work. Oh, this praying in the Spirit. Oh, this worshiping. You know, that doesn't really work. That's just a thing to make you feel good for a while. Yeah, singing. Yeah, it doesn't. That doesn't make that big of a difference. That's not going to change real life. You know, it's not like God has anything to do with it, you know. People start getting intimidated. They start, whatever people think, you know. You know, if I start doing this, if God's telling me this, but instead of submitting their mind to Christ and taking the thoughts captive, their minds are actually captive by another person. They're saying, you know what, I would do that, but God, after that, my parents, I know what they would say, or my friends, I know what they would say. Or my kids, or you have another person you're going to and discussing thoughts about why, while instead of just going to God and submitting all that stuff to Him. That's a veil of the mind. Romans chapter 8, it starts off dealing with condemnation. A person can feel condemned when in reality they're positioned in the spirit correctly. Your mind is lying to you. You're not condemned. You have freedom. You have everything you need. These questions are irrelevant. You have everything you need. You just need to just jump in the river, and it's all there. All your answers are there. When the veil of the mind is broken through, you're on the mountaintop. You can see for miles. Like, oh, every problem is correctly positioned. Yeah, I know what that is. I know what that is. Everything is clear. Everything is straightened out. Now, to be honest, you're already on the mountaintop. In the spirit, you're already there. What you've just done is shine the light, and it broke through the clouds, and now you can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Hallelujah. You get insights from God. You get pictures from God. You, instead of getting worried, you get inspiration. Ideas start coming from, it's just, you get filled with just like, I can do, instead of like, I should do. Isn't that good? It's awesome. It's awesome. Last veil. Is this good? You guys dealing with this? The veil of the spiritual atmosphere. Now, most people, they never deal with this. This is where, when you rise to your position and you start dealing with things that are beyond you, are actually dealing with, the ripple effect is dealing with things that the enemy is starting to notice, like, hey, they're doing work in the spirit and I need to shut them down real quick. They're going too far, too fast, doing too much, changing too many things. They're causing a tidal wave in the spirit, and we have to do something to contain this thing. And so this is where, out of nowhere, something comes on you to squeeze, to suffocate you, the hardness, all of a sudden something, it's like you hit a brick wall, like, poof. No, you don't go any further than that. Doubts come out of nowhere, like, and it's not just like a question, like, well, I don't know about that. It's like, no, that shall not happen. No, that's not true. It's a thing that just hits you like a baseball bat. And it hits your mind, hits your spirit, hits like your body, soul, and spirit all at once. Bam! You feel all of a sudden like your prayers are like bouncing off the ceiling. It's not real, but something that just, it feels, it's like a weight just comes on you like, this is on me. And it's like you're fighting upwards. This is a real experience. Colossians chapter 4, Paul tells about a guy. Verse 12. Says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This guy, Epaphras, was making headway to not just cause himself to walk in the will of God, but he was making a tidal wave for a whole church to woof walk in the will of God. And it was a labor, a fervent labor. Oh, it's supposed to be easy. You're working with God. Paul says, no, it was a work. He was fighting past this thing. It was tough for him. Tough, why? 1 Peter chapter 5. It says that enemy, let me just read it here. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says here, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. You know this verse. Knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brother in the world. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. There's a resisting. The enemy is not going to say, oh, just go your way. Here you go. Have a nice day. You know, Glad you asked me. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to resist you. He's going to push against you. But by faith, you can win. And you just stand your ground. You resist in the face. This is the way it's going to be. Eventually, he quits. The devil's a quitter. He is a quitter. God's not a quitter. Christians are never quitters. But the devil, as part of his titles, his definition, a quitter. He quit heaven. He keeps quitting. He puts a facade like he's persistent. But really, in the end, quitter. As long as you don't take on his nature. Hallelujah. And so when you break through this, when you keep resistance at this by faith, says this is the will of God, this is what we're praying for, and it's not just for me, it's for everyone around me. This is the thing, when we're seeing, when we're lifting up our voice, when we're declaring to the heavens, we're not just praising God for our little group. We're praising God for all of the nation, all of the world, all eternity. We're declaring eternal realities that's going to conform everything for the glory of God. That's what we're doing. So this is the thing that the enemy obviously does not want. But when we stand up and we push through, we said this is what shall be in spite of what we see, in spite of what we hear, in spite of what the news is telling us, this is true. This is the faith of God that shall be declared to the mountain, and the mountain shall move. When you push past that, that's when this veil is broken through and everything is clear. Everything is clear. See, like I said in the beginning, there's two choices we must make. Number one, we make the choice where we set our mind. And number two, we lean into the Spirit of God. He is here, our help. You lean where the Spirit of the Lord deserves freedom. You just lean into that freedom. Just let the lion loose. And it walks around like a roaring lion, but you have the lion inside you. Like, you know, just like the song says, you know, you have the lion inside of you. You do have a lion inside of you. Spirit of freedom. Yeah. And when you can let forth that roar. You know, I've said this before. The cry for deliverance in the Old Testament has become the shout of dominion in the New Testament. Because of where God has positioned us. And when you release the roar from within you, when you release this thing that says, Spirit of God, you're loose through me. Spirit, soul, body, you're loose through me. No veil can stand in your way. Let's stand up. We're not looking for our help outside of us. He's put everything we need inside of us. I didn't hear any amens on that. When you invited Jesus into your life, when you said, Spirit of God, take residence inside me, he put the seed of victory, the seed of glory inside you, the seed of God, the creator of the universe inside of you. And it's time to just throw off any veil, no veil, anything that pops up, and nah. Put it aside. Put it aside. Put it aside. Left, right. Nothing's. No, no, no. That's not me. That's not going to block me. That's not going to stop. You push past it, and so you can release everything inside of you with no fear, no intimidation, no condemnation. You are free. Let's lift up our hands.